welcome, everybody. It is great to see you guys this weekend. Welcome, everybody over at Montrose and watching online, and everybody at Gent Row on Sunday morning, because if you're here Sunday morning, you're watching this conversation via video, because I will be over at our Akron East campus helping them get ready to launch our 10th location. Isn't that exciting? And so we're super excited about that. And so Pastor Ryan asked me to come over and hang out with them a little bit, and I'm doing that and excited about what God's going to do as we open up our, we call it our Stark North Campus, Stark County North Campus. And so super excited about that. All of you will hear a lot more about it. All of you will have an invitation to be a participant in that. And it's fun to see God continue to allow grace to take the gospel further, faster, and be a part of that. So that's a new opportunity, and we are cranked about that. The reason that I'm teaching this way via video on Sunday and, of course, here live on Saturday night is because I want to launch off our ministry season, and I want to do that in a unique way. So as a leadership of the church, we tend to think in terms of, we call it the ministry year. So the ministry year is the weekend after Labor Day until Mother's Day. And that's when we're probably in the most normal and kind of rhythms that we get in as a church family, small groups, youth ministries, young adults, children, men's retreats, women's retreats, all of it. You know, it all kind of kicks into that gear, sports ministry. Summertime is then a free-for-all. So lots and lots of camps and lots of missions trips, and you guys are all over the place, and so it's great. It's just a different time, different types of ministries. But this weekend is the weekend that we would say we're kicking off our ministry year, and I want to do something different this ministry year than we've ever done before. I've kind of sat down and mapped out the ministry year in a very specific way. I want to tell you what that is, and then I want to invite you and challenge you and implore you, and if I have to come to your house, I will, and I want you to be a part of it, because I think God is doing some absolutely incredible things kind of nationally and globally, and absolutely, I know for sure he's doing incredible things here at Grace Church. And I want us all to be a part of it. And I want us to be a part of what I call the fabric of it. And I want you to make sure that you're seeing what God is doing in your life, and then you're kind of joining what God wants to do in your life, and then seeing how he's doing that together through all of us. So at Grace Church, there is a past, there is a present, and there is a very exciting future. And that's what I want to talk to you about this weekend in a unique way. So we're going to have a different service than we would normally have had. I've kind of had something on my heart and on my mind for probably about a year or so, maybe a little bit longer. Some observations I've been making, and I feel like there's a path that we need to go down together. I want us to go down together, and so I want to lay that out for us here this weekend. If Grace is your home, the things that I'm going to talk to you about are things that I've kind of been observing about our church family. They're positive things, they're not negative things, but definitely kind of different stuff that I've been observing, trying to find words for, and they're almost instincts that I would be trying to put words to, and I think God helped me to do that a little bit. I want to share that with you. If you're our guest this weekend, this is a perfect weekend to be a part of Grace for the very first time, because I'm literally going to tell you everything that you would get yourself involved in if you needed and wanted to be here. And so it's a great time to lay that out for you. And if you're exploring your faith, and if you're unsure about who Jesus is or where he wants you to be, and by the way, at Grace Church, that's a very common thing. In fact, we get excited that you would do that and even wrestle with those questions and see where God would have you. The path that I'm going to kind of lay out for you is, think of it as an invitation, that you can take the deep dive and you can take the deep look and you can get your head around who Jesus is and what he's like and kind of what that entails. And this is a great opportunity to take advantage of that in kind of an orderly way, I guess, kind of a systematic way, so that you can kind of see it from A to Z or so, okay? So I wanna walk us down this path, but to get us where we're going in the future, I gotta walk us back a minute. And I gotta walk us back into the history of Grace Church a little bit. So Grace Church as a church has been around for a long, long time. So we started way back in the 60s. Grace Church was actually started in Barberton, and it was there for a little while, and then it moved to Norton. And about 1973, a guy named Bob Combs came and became the senior pastor of Grace Church. Bob is still around. I saw him the other day. He was on his way to visit people in the nursing home. Bob is 84, and he told me he was going to go visit old people. And so that's what he was doing. He's just a character and a passionate for Jesus and for people and my hero. And so when Bob came to Grace Church in 1973, Grace started to get its legs. In 1993, Heidi and I showed up, and I was the youth pastor, and we worked together to start the youth ministry, and we did that for a long time. And in about the year 1999-2000 or so, Pastor Bob asked Heidi and I if we would go out and start the first campus of Grace Church. So the mother campus is in Norton, and Bob sent us up here to Bath. And he said, would you go and start that first campus? About 100 people-ish, 150, came with us from Norton. We were sent out, and Heidi and I started the first campus of Grace Church with those people. And that was in the end of 99 and the beginning of 2000. So the first Sunday in the year 2000 is Grace Church's birthday. And so we're 25 years old. The Bath campus is 25 years old this year. Yeah, thanks for clapping. That's awesome. Yeah. We should have had t-shirts made. So Heidi and I came out of there. We had a blast in youth ministry. Some of the kids in our youth group are part of the Bath campus now, which makes me feel old, very, very old, but not as old as their parents, and they're here too. But kind of that group of people came out, and we came up to start the Bath campus with I would say a deep, deep passion to reach our generation. So I'm an old Gen Xer, and my generation is like every emerging generation. The gospel has to be recommunicated, and it has to be kind of how it's delivered is reimagined. So taking a timeless truth of God that never changes, and the truth of Jesus and his love and his salvation, and putting that on a mechanism, so to say, that makes sense to a new generation. That's what we were doing. And I was watching lots and lots of my peers walk away from the church, walk away from Christ, or not even know how to discover Christ. And so when Pastor Bob asked us to come up here, I was like, I will if I can do that. If I can do that, if I can make Jesus make sense to people he doesn't make sense to, Bob. And if I can do it the way that I know how to do it, I don't know how to be you. Bob's a one-off. I don't know how to be you, but I know kind of how God made me and Heidi, and if we can go do that, I'll go do that. And so Bob, being the amazing leader that he is, said, go for it. He said, I want you to go for it and just go kind of do your thing. And so we came up here. We knew that we wanted to create a church that Jesus made sense in, that if you didn't know Jesus or you weren't sure about Jesus or you had questions or doubts or even skepticism about Jesus, that you could like honestly wrestle that through. No defensiveness, no like authoritative, like do what you're told to do kind of a thing, but like let's have the conversation and let's just see what God wants to do in your life. We also knew that we wanted to start a church where our kids could experience Jesus in a real way. Heidi and I had one child, our oldest child back then. In fact, when we were candidating, he took his first steps downstairs. And the church I grew up in, I hated going to church. Hated it. It was like prison for 3 hours a week. And it was horrible. And what saved me was my parents. My parents were sincere. My parents were loving. And so faith made sense to me because of my home. It really didn't make sense to me because of my church. And so I said, Heidi and I were like, we have to make a church where kids can discover Jesus and know what a real relationship with Jesus is. And we can make Jesus make sense to them. That's why there's a slide in the church. Because we just said, if we can meet kids where they're at, they're not at theology, they're at slide. And so we got a slide. And when your kids leave and your kids are begging to come back because we gave them tons of sugar and red dye and they're just all hyped up and you have to deal with them all night, I want you to know that my soul feels great about that. When they're asking, Mom and Dad, can we be a part of the church? Can we know? It's this beautiful, rare thing. And so we knew that that was a huge passion. And then we wanted to create a church that was modern. We didn't want really like a trendy church. That's kind of not really our vibe so much, but like a modern church, that the language modern, the music was modern, and it just made sense to the generation that we were a part of. And it was kind of free of like expectation. Like when I grew up in church, you had to wear a suit and a tie. If you were a woman, you had to wear a dress. You would get turned away at the door. You know, we're like, who wants to do that? I don't even want to wear socks, let alone suit and a tie. I don't even like shoes that much, to be honest with you. So we're like, if we could just do away with all that and just focus on Jesus and his message and the teaching of the Bible. And that was like the third element of it. We're like, I think we can do away with all this stuff because that kind of just evolved. But if we can actually be very, very committed to the Bible and not add to it, not take away from it, just let God say what he says. And then figure out how to work that into our life and how that plays out and how that shows up. So that was like the big goal. So we got kind of the blessing because of the great leader that Bob is, and me and our friends like came up and we're like, let's start doing this thing. Having no idea. I was 28 years old. Had no idea what to do, how to do it. And we just kind of started trying to reach people. And over the course of time, somehow God decided to like use all of that. So in the next 20 years, grace just exploded. It exploded with growth and with impact, and thousands and thousands of people came to know Christ. As best as I can figure the numbers out, in the last 25 years, somewhere between 7,000 and 8,000 people have accepted Jesus and baptized here at Grace Church. And it's just been this powerful thing. And a bunch of you are in that group, right? And just kind of like Jesus made sense. You discovered him. God worked in your heart. And you accepted Christ and were baptized. We also said we're going to be a movement of churches. So I remember the very first Sunday I had my khaki pants on and my sweater vest. By the way, that was very, very trendy in 1999. And I said, we're going to not just be a church, we're going to be a movement. That same weekend that we started, I also forgot to take the offering. That's like full of passion, but like terribly organized. And I think somebody was like, hey, if we're going to be a movement, we're probably going to need an offering, you know, kind of thing. And so, but that's just how we did it. And we said, we're not just going to be a typical church. Like we really felt called to start churches and start churches and start churches and start churches. So taking the gospel where it's not clear and easily accessible. So when I say a new campus, what I mean is a church plant. We just call it a campus, and I won't go deep into that. But so when I say we're going to open our 10th location, I mean plant our 10th church and show up at a place where the gospel is not clear or easily accessible. And just take the good news of Jesus there. So in that same 20, 25 years, we've sent about 3,000 people out of the Bath campus alone to start new campuses. And we have sent them to Medina, and we've sent them to Akron East and Barberton and Atlanta and like all over our locations, right? Because we just said this is what God calls his people to do. It's what a church is. It's what we're supposed to do. It's what the early church did. So it's in the book. So we'll just do that, right? And God has worked through that in a very, very big way. And that's where the growth of grace comes from. So like if you're here at the Bath campus, you come to one of six services that are held on the weekends. And then there's two collective services and youth groups. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, all of these facilities are being used basically to their max capacity because we're just like, let's do that. Let's reach people. Let's go that way. Let's not build the big auditoriums. Let's not build the massive buildings. Let's take all those resources, send people out, and like we'll spend that money on like the next building that we need to start another campus in, kind of a thing. And so we've just done that over the years, and grace has grown. So the Easter Sunday of 1999 when I left, Heidi and I left the Norton campus to come here, our high attendance was about 900 people. This last Easter Sunday, 2025, our attendance was about 13,000 people. And that is just winning people to Jesus and telling them the good news and functioning it by being what we understand the Bible tells us to do as a church and moving forward. And over that time, there were lots of sacrifices and dreams and lots of laughs. There were buildings that we needed to build, like this auditorium at Gent Road. Some of you, years ago when we built that, you would have written names of people that you've been praying to accept Jesus on the floor of this auditorium. It's under the carpet. And you, I don't know, but your name might be under there, because when God's people start to pray, like a bunch of people start accepting Christ. And so like we were praying for the individuals. A couple years ago when we opened the gym up, we did the same thing. We went down there and we wrote people. There's like, these are the people we love. And these are people we just want to know Jesus. So like there's lots of that stuff, you know, like we got to build something, we'll build it. But like we're doing this because we don't want people to go to hell. And we want people to experience the love of Christ that we've experienced. And so there's lots of memories like that. There's lots of memories of like when we started doing missions work, like we started going to Chad, Africa. This was years ago. We as a church built a hospital in Chad, Africa, and raised up missionaries, sent missionaries. You know, it was a big, huge part of our life. And God blessed that so much that the Chadians are like, hey, we got it. It's amazing. Like, we got it. And they're planting hundreds of churches a year, and they're trying to push up north into basically Islamic Africa. It's unbelievable what God has done, and we got to be a part of all of that. And we have lots of new relationships and lots of friendships. There's lots of innovation when you think about sports ministry. Like, that was just invented. We just were like, I don't know, people will let us tell them about Jesus as long as there's a basketball. So we'll start that. And God bless that. You think about collective and where that has grown. And now we're going to two nights. It's just unbelievable what God's doing. And youth ministry, the music, like, I don't know if you even know, like, a bunch of the songs we sing, our bands wrote. Like, all that kind of stuff. It's just fun, and it's powerful, and it's meaningful, and God has worked there in a crazy way. So for about 20 years, groups of people joined into what I called a continuous fabric. So we shared a common history. We tackled, like, the same mountains. We understood the same culture, what we call the eight values. If you've been around for a while, you've heard the eight values. And we shared the same blessings from our sacrifice. Like, we saw God give a big return on that. And it was kind of continuous and unbroken and crazy and nuts. And in 2019, we did something called All In, All Out, and raised the money, and we built the gym, and like, because we're reaching all these thousands of people, okay? Now, something then happened in 2020. Anybody remember? Anybody not want to remember, right? Okay. So what happened in 2020 when COVID hit was really, really interesting. And this is what's been on my heart, what I've been trying to figure out a little bit. Grace Church, throughout our history, there's something that when we look at the church and how we're reaching people, how effectively we're assimilating and like connecting you guys to each other, there's something that we call a churn. So a healthy church churns at about 15%. A really healthy one is Grace Church. We churn at about 10%. And what a churn is this. It's people who come to the church and people who leave the church. So people are born, people are die. People move into town, they move out of town, right? All those kind of things. Sometimes people just go to a different church because Grace wasn't for them and they were here for a couple years. And so we always watch that because we don't want anybody to be lost in the mix. And so we went for about 20 years with about a 10% churn, which is a wildly healthy thing to have. It means that most people come to Grace stay at Grace. In 2020, for the first time ever, our churn went from 10% to 30 to 35%. That was during COVID. And usually something like that only happens if there's a turnover in the senior pastor. So like the old guy retires and people are like, kids today, right? And then there's a churn kind of a thing. or that there's some kind of disunity or distrust that happens. Money's missing, somebody morally failed or whatever, and a church will churn very heavily. But during COVID, the whole planet kind of did that. So the average church churned at about 50 to 60%. But because we were healthy and we're unified, we churned at about 30 to 35%. And here's the thing. Even though that happened, our attendance and participation increased. So we decided, I remember week one of COVID, I looked at our staff and our elders, we kind of unified up and we said, we're taking ground. Like, we're not gonna sit back here and wait for something to go away. Like, this is, the Lord's doing whatever he's doing because ultimately he's in control. And so we're gonna take ground and we're gonna move forward because people are gonna be looking for hope. And so we made that decision. It was hard ground to take. It was costly ground to take. It leaves some scars, to be honest with you. But God worked, and he worked in really, really powerful ways. And the end result was in about that two-year window-ish where, like, it was a thing. We saw about 1,000 people come to know Jesus during that time. We started a major campus. We reignited it when we launched Akron East. That's where I am on Sunday because they're gonna launch a campus from them. That was all during that COVID time. We found that there was massive traction in our high school and our young adult ministry. It absolutely exploded and it grew like crazy. And it's unbelievable. If you come here on a Wednesday night, a Tuesday night, a Thursday night, you're gonna see these facilities just flooded with people. If you go over to the Montrose building on a Wednesday night, you're gonna see it flooded with children. It's just, that all kind of got its roots during COVID. And we saw about a thousand people become a part of the Grace Church family during the most difficult time of that epidemic. So today, Grace is healthier than ever, and it's reaching more people than ever, and we're actually launching more churches and campuses than ever, and we're actually doing it faster than we've ever done it. And I've had an unsettledness in me. So this is what I mean. Like, I'm your pastor. So I'm just kind of sharing my heart here. Like, there's been like an angst in me. And when you look at like the stats or the finances or the whatever, like there's no reason for angst. And so it's been funny even talking about this a little bit internally because some of our team is like, what's your problem? I'm like, oh, well, I didn't say that, but I thought it. But like, what is this anxiousness thing in me? And it's like it's a feeling or an instinct or a restlessness from the Holy Spirit. There's about 1,000 ways to say it. But I've been trying to look at this and I've been praying a lot about it and trying to figure out what it is that I'm sensing, right? And here's what I think God helped me to come to. Grace is healthier and stronger and bigger and faster and more on mission than it has ever been. I can't add to that metric in any way. But for the first time in our history, we do not have a common history. And it's fascinating to me that when I started looking at this, because at first I thought, well, maybe it's a generational thing. You know, maybe there's like a young people, old people. It's like, nah, even our old people are immature. So like in our young people, I don't think it's that. I'm like, well, I don't know what is it that I'm sensing? And what I realize is when I look at it, I'm like, the issue for me is that there's not a common history. So for instance, if I said, how many of you remember All In, All Out and made a spiritually empowered decision to invest in that and felt drawn by God to do that? Some of your hands would go up and a bunch of you would be like, what are you talking about? And if I said the gym, you'd be like, oh yeah, you guys were building it or like it was open when I got here. And there's not a commonality to it, see. If I said to you, how many of you have ever been on one of the collective retreats where there's 700 or 800 young adults on those retreats? A bunch of you would be like, I don't know, my kids aren't, we don't do collective yet, or I don't know anything about it. And we would have like these different experiences that are powerful and spiritually empowered, but not a commonality to it. Because there was something that we had never experienced before. There was a major churn. There was a disruption in all of our lives. And I started to realize that I think what I was sensing was that there is a pre-COVID part of our church family and a post-COVID part of our church family. And those two groups of people love each other. We are united. We don't have like disunity in any way. We live in deep, deep harmony with each other, but we don't have a shared memory. There's a set of experiences here, and there's a set of experiences here, and they're both wildly healthy. God is working in powerful ways, but there's not this. And that's why sometimes you might sense that. I think it's why I sense that. And I'm like, oh, Lord, I think you are looking for this. Not to go back and live the good old days, because as Ezra always reminds me, the good old days were not that good. I just remember them romantically. It's not a generational thing. It's I experienced grace here for the first time. I experienced grace here for the first time. And the question for me was, how do we create a new shared memory so that as we go forward, because we're just getting warmed up, grace is built to be a 300 to 500 year movement. So we're barely a baby. So as we move forward, how do we do that in a shared memory, in a shared way? And so what I wanna do this ministry year is I wanna create a new thing. I wanna create a place that if you say, I feel like I'm a little on the outside looking in, that you can be woven in. A place, if you said, well, I used to be on the inside, I've been kind of riding the pine here, you can get back in the game. And a common place where we can kind of go together and say, we experienced this, we invested in each other this way, and we saw God do these things. And kind of as a family, give us like a different foundation, a new foundation as we go forward. So here's the big idea. There's three kind of areas that I want us to do. And the first one is this. The first thing I want you to help you do is I want to help you discover or rediscover the wonder of Jesus' church. When you become a follower of Jesus, the Bible says your sins are forgiven. The Bible says you are filled with the Holy Spirit the moment you accept Christ. And the Bible says you become a part of the church of Jesus Christ, which Jesus calls his family, his body, and his bride. So following Jesus is very much something that we do together. We have individual relationships with Christ 100%, but there's a unity that comes, a spiritual bond that comes to the local church. And so I want to help us look at that and rediscover that and the wonder of it in a powerful way. The church is not a building, it's a rescue team. And it's a team in which we have to function together. We are individually doing things that God has called us to do. And then in a unified way, there's things that we do, whether we're encouraging or helping us in our individual efforts, or we're pushing together collectively, right? Because when you go to launch churches, or you go to send missionaries, or when you start praying for your friend and the friend that they're trying to reach, it's a powerful thing. And as you look at the scripture and you understand Jesus, you understand the New Testament, that's how God would call us to live our faith out. So I want to help us to rediscover that and re-understand that. And that's the series that we're kicking off this weekend. It's called Invisible Walls. And I'm just going to walk through different places in our life where we might say, this is how I've disconnected a little bit. Here's a little bit of my fear. Here's a little bit of my question. Here's a little bit of my concern. But how do I trust? How do I love? How do I embrace? And how do I participate in the body of Christ in a unique and powerful way? And we'll kind of walk that through together, almost individually, so that we wind up collectively being who God wants us to be and where God wants us to be. We're gonna do that series, and then we're gonna do some other stuff after that, probably some relational stuff, kind of go down into Christmas. And then at the beginning of the year, I want us to hit another phase. And in that phase, what I want to do is this. I want to help you discover, rediscover Jesus through the Bible. So Jesus is not just an experience. He's not just a feeling. Jesus is somebody that you get to know and that you walk with personally and powerfully. And the way that you get to know him is through what we call the Word of God or the Bible. The Bible is not just a religious book. It's not a history book. It's not an academic book. It is divine revelation from God in which God shares with us his heart, his mind, and his truth. And so I want to help you know and understand the Bible in a different way and learn the Bible and know the heart of the God of the Bible and to walk in his ways. And I said this, I don't want you just to learn the Bible. I want you to love the Jesus of the Bible. And for many of us, you might have been a follower of Jesus for a while, or it's new to you, or you're just thinking about it. The biggest obstacle that many of us would say is, I don't know the Bible that well. And the thing that hinders us in our faith, or the reason that we have the unanswered questions or the uncertainty, is we don't know the Bible that well. And I'm like, okay, fair enough. We're going to teach you the Bible that well. So at the new year, right at the beginning of the new year, we're going to kick off a time where we go through something called Rooted Together. And we're going to walk you through and help you get anchored in the basics of the Bible. If you're a church nerd, this is systematic theology. And we're going to form groups, and we're going to tie people together. We're going to invest in each other. You're going to come out of that with an understanding of God's word. You're going to come out of it with a set of friends. And if you're single, who knows? You know, I'm just saying, it's a place to meet people. But we're gonna embrace that together. We're going to walk it through. By the way, we're going to start. That's going to be from your children all the way through. And we're going to take that journey together as a church. And you're going to come out of that, and if you come out of that rooted process, you're going to, if you do it, you're going to say, I have a foundation of how to understand the Bible. And we're going to teach about it, and we're going to group it, and we're going to have a great, great time together. Then the third thing I want to do this ministry year is I want you to discover or rediscover your mission or your calling, right? I want you to discover your mission or your calling. You have spiritual gifts. You have a story. You have pain, you have blessings, you have people that God has put in your life that you need to make Jesus make sense to. And all of that is tied to your calling. I said it this way, that every story matters in God's story. So the reason that God redeems you, saves you, calls you out is not just so you can know things. It's so that you can take his message further, faster, and that you can help people know the love and the hope of Jesus. So we'll work in a couple of few other series through there, but kind of corporately, collectively, what we're gonna do is we'll go through, like, what's the church and how do I tie into it? What's that all about? Let me tell you something. If you're looking for an adventure, if you're looking for a vision, if you're looking for a mission, if you're looking for an investment, if you're looking to do something crazy with your life, you're looking for church. You just don't know it, and maybe you haven't experienced it. I've had one time in my life, I've had an AK-47 in my face, and it was on a church trip. I'm just saying, it can get crazy, right? But when you're missing those things in your life, church is something that you start attending instead of being. It's something that you start enduring instead of longing for. It's something that you start consuming instead of pouring yourself out through. If you're missing those things, you're missing the church. If you are missing wisdom, if you are missing direction, if you are missing knowledge, if you are missing insight, if you're trying to figure marriage out or kids out or college out or high school out, what you're missing is the Bible. And all the wisdom of God and all the knowledge of God that it contains. And understanding how it works, how to navigate it, what is it, and how has Jesus come through all the books of the Bible, not just four of them in the New Testament. if you look and say, I have my nest is empty, my schedule's free, my kids are grown, I'm coming out of college, I'm not sure what to do with this degree, I'm discontent in my career, I don't know, I'm kind of bored in life, life has become easy for me, I'm not fulfilled in what I'm doing. What you're missing is your calling. And you're missing how God has shaped you and formed you, and how he did that on purpose, and the uniqueness of you, and how he wants to weave you into the life of the kingdom and the life of the people around you, right? And all of that brings vitality to you individually, which brings vitality to us in a united way. And it's what allows the church of Jesus to do the things that Jesus called his church to do. So this is something that I think is for all of us. And if you say, Jeff, I'm just kind of listening, thinking, the stuff you're exploring and searching for and longing for is found in the person of Jesus Christ. And I'm not asking you to take my word for it. But I am inviting you on a journey that maybe you haven't been on before. And we'll walk that together. We'll share that together. We'll pour into each other's lives together. And I think that God will work in a powerful way. What I said about this is that it's an all play. It's every age, every stage, every story. And guys, listen, I don't care where you're at in life. This is what your Lord and Savior, these are the types of things he has called you to. There is no such thing as spiritual retirement. You are not done. There is no such thing as I did my time and now I'm gonna let the kids do it. I'm gonna sit on a beach and rot. If that's what you're gonna do with the rest of your life, it's a good thing I'm not God, because I don't know why I keep you here for that. If you have lived a life of walking with God, then you have wisdom, you have knowledge, you have insight that needs to be invested, not hoarded. And this is an opportunity to start pouring those things out or getting a new vision in your own life. If your nest is empty, one of the things I realized when Heidi and I, our nest emptied this last year, one of the things I realized was this. Our oldest son is 27. What I realized was for the last 27 years, my relationship with my church was tied very closely to my kids. And when my nest emptied, I'm like, what is my relationship with the church? Besides the fact that I like need this job, like what is my relationship with this church? Because the kids were an easy outlet and I would always invest where they were and I always cared about what they were doing. And now suddenly I have a little bit of time and a little bit of space on my life. And it is really, really easy to fill that up with the lake and to fill that up with golf and to fill that up really with selfishness. While all the time we have raised children who know and follow Jesus, and there's people around us who are trying to do that and aren't sure how to do it, and I have the knowledge and the wisdom. Heidi and I have been married for 32 years, and we're happily married, and all around us are people who are trying to stay married, and we have knowledge and wisdom, and we're tempted to hoard it. We know the Bible inside and out because we've walked with Jesus a long time. There's all kinds of people trying to figure out how to walk with Jesus, and we own that, not it's ours. And simply adding to it to add to it as opposed to pour it back out. See what I'm saying? It's an all play. And so if the nest is empty, you need to get in the game. There is no such thing as spiritual retirement. Now listen, some of you are like, but I'm young and I'm so busy. I'm so busy, I got school and I got band and I got dance and I'm like, wait a minute. All those people that God has put in your life, your roommates, your doormates, the reason they are in your life is so that you can make Jesus make sense to them. There is no checkout. It's every age, every stage, every story. When the kids are young, I know that life is hard. We have 6 children. I know that biologically my 30s happened. I don't remember 1 minute of my 30s. We were dead brain the whole time, right? But you are called, and you are called to your own children. You have friends who are going through that same bewilderment of what is this and how do I do this and I'm overwhelmed, and you have a hope that they need to have. And it needs to be poured out of us. If your kids are little, they're gonna take a lot of the same journey with you. And you'll be able to disciple them and interact with them in the same way. It's all play, all ages, all stages, every story. Why? The reason is because that's what a church is. A church is a group of rescued people trying to rescue other people through Christ. And that's what you see again and again in the scripture. If you look at the Bible in Acts chapter 13 and 14, you just see that pattern. Friends trying to tell friends about Jesus. They would do that. God would form a church. The church would reach their local community. The people of the church would grow in faith. They would pour into each other. The elders would then train them up, send them out, and they would repeat that process again. And all Grace Church is doing is that. We're doing that. And that's why we try to reach people. That's why we start campuses. That's what 30 and 30 is. It's literally just us trying to do the Great Commission, and we just nicknamed it something so it makes more sense. But all of the people of God and all of the followers of God and the whole church of Jesus, that's what we are called to, and that's how God wants us to play things out, guys. And this is where Grace Church came from. It's where we are going. And I want you to be a part of it. As a follower of Jesus, we are to embrace his commission personally. And then we do that together as a church family. And God does incredible, powerful things through it. And this is Jesus' heart. Jesus, when he came to earth, he came to seek and to save the lost. He came to teach. He came to make himself understood. And he came to establish the church. He came to establish the church. And so as we allow ourselves to be a part of that, and we're woven into that fabric together, God does powerful, powerful things through it. I remember when we were just started Grace, the Bath campus, and I remember we came up against an obstacle. And that obstacle happened to be financial. Like, we needed money actually to build this auditorium, and we didn't have it. A bunch of young college kids and young families, we're all poor, and so we're like, where are we gonna get this money from? And so we started looking into it, and we started praying about it, and we basically discovered that the only way that we could do this is if we did it together, and we did it very sacrificially. There was not another way. We're in Akron, Ohio. We don't have sugar daddies, sugar mamas around here, right? It's just, everybody kind of goes to work, right? And so I'm like, that's just the way that it is. If you're an oil baron, I'd like to meet you, but I haven't met one in Akron, Ohio yet, right? So we just said, this is the only way that we're gonna do this. If we all get behind it, if we all are believing that God's doing something here, it's gonna take these resources to build the building. So I remember we had a meeting, and I laid this out to everybody, because we had done like a research project. I'm like, the research says this can't be done. I believe God wants to do something great here, but this is the only way we're gonna achieve it. And I asked a question that night, and I said to those group of people, I said, we have to decide right now, do we want to be a part of something special, or do we want to be a part of something supernatural? Because to that point, all of us were having a blast. We're all just having a blast. Everything was new. Everything was fun. The kids were having fun. We did VeggieTale. Like, we would dress people up as Bob and Larry. Like, it was, you know, if you haven't seen a cucumber in tights, you haven't had any fun, right? And so, like, we were just doing all this kind of stuff. We were making new friends. We were forming a community that we all kind of longed for, seeing people come to know Jesus. It was an absolute blast. But it hadn't cost much yet. And so I just looked at everyone and I said, we can do that. I mean, we can have fun. And it's fun. or we can ask God to be a part of this in a supernatural way. Because I can have fun as a consumer. I can have fun as a consumer. I can only make an impact really as a family. And until those bonds are woven together, and until decisions are made, that even when relationships are hard or things are demanding, like I'm staying with these people, like we're gonna work through the hard stuff even as we enjoy the fun stuff. Until that's made, then really the church isn't formed yet. And that group of a couple hundred people made a decision that they were gonna be a part of something supernatural. That's what we wanted. And that night, in like this powerful way, like God was like, okay, you guys are woven together. You're kind of stuck with each other. But I'm gonna do something through you that's just gonna blow your mind. Gonna blow your mind. There's all kinds of talk about revival all over the country and even the world. I don't know if you know that in the last 5 years, 30 million people have accepted Jesus in North America. God is doing unbelievable things. And I had a friend ask me about a year or two ago, he said, have you ever been a part of revival? And I said, I feel like I've been a part of one in the last 25 years. Like what God has done here, what he is doing, it blows my mind what he is doing. And I look and say, it's a high point. It's absolutely a high point. And I know God wants to do more. I know that when he builds his church, he builds it to his glory and his fame. And I know that the way that he does more is he takes individuals who've experienced life change, who have seen the cycles broken in their life and the chains of addictions thrown off and sin run out of their life, and people who have seen that in an individual way. The way that God moves his church is he takes those people and he weaves them together. And he looks and basically says, now the gates of hell are not gonna overcome this, because I empower this differently. I use this differently. And I've watched this happen, and many of you watched it happen here at Grace. He's doing it, he's done it, and he wants to do it more and more. And I want that to happen to you. And I want that to happen to us. And this path is kind of the best path I could think of to take us down. God is powerful, and he's just getting warmed up here at Grace. And I don't want you to miss out on it. I encourage you these next 9 months, don't just get lost in your questions. Go find the answers. And we will do everything we can to lay out kind of places that you can go find those answers in. Don't ride your life out at the lake. If you're retired or your nest is empty, do not waste your life that way. Pour the wisdom and the knowledge and the life God has given you into somebody else. And grab hold of what God wants to do. So this is my prayer. My prayer is that you develop and act on a deep passion to make Jesus make sense to the people around you. Listen, if you hadn't led anybody to Jesus in the last year, you're not trying that hard. Don't let your story of life change be an old story you tell. Let it be a present reality that you live in. Do the work of an evangelist. So I pray that God ignites that passion within you. I pray that you learn and to love the Bible, God's story. If being in God's word is not a normal part of your life or a regular part of your life, if it used to be, and now you're stalled out spiritually, I'm telling you that's why. If it's become stalled or stale, it's because you're not embracing the Holy Spirit, the work that he wants to do through it. And if you look and say, Jeff, I just don't know the Bible, I'm like, guys, it's written, it's on video, there's a podcast, there's apps. I mean, come on. But I pray that you learn to love God's word and the God of the word, and that you learn to obey and walk in his ways. And then I pray that you start pouring your life into each other. And as we do that and do it more and more, God is going to work through us in powerful, powerful ways, all right? Okay? I needed to tell you that. I just needed to tell you that, all right? And I needed to, I don't know. God just has laid that on my heart. So there it is. If it's not exciting, then you're going to have a terrible time at church the next 9 months. But I think if you take advantage of these things, God is going to do a great, great thing. Because I believe that God is not, I don't think we've even begun to see what God is going to do through Grace Church. I think so much of what he's going to do, we're going to watch it from eternity. Those of us who are kind of getting old, and those of you who are young, you're going to put it on your shoulders and move the gospel forward another generation. And there is no better use of your life. It's a powerful and wonderful thing, okay? All right. Band's going to come out. Give us a minute. Would you pray with me? This is what I encourage you to do. I just wonder if you took a breath and looked at your own walk with Jesus. And I just wonder if you're a Christ follower, I wonder if you just look and say, ask the question, like, am I passionate about following Jesus still? I didn't say faithful to going to church. I didn't say, like, I haven't blown my life up, but like that passion, that hunger, that angst almost of wanting to know Christ and to make him known. And I wonder if we pray, God, would you reignite that in me? I wonder for those of us who just accepted Jesus and you are passionate, I wonder if you've taken the time to like anchor the passion and what the Bible calls sound doctrine, like knowing God's word, knowing his heart and his mind. Just not the excitement of knowing him is wonderful and incredible. And then like growing in what the Bible calls wisdom and truth is so important too. So maybe for you, it's just like, you know, I'm gonna do that hard work of knowing the word of God, knowing the person of God and the mind of God. And then maybe you're just looking for God. Here's what I want you to know. God is not a mystery. He's made himself known and he wants to be found. And if you reach for him, he will reach right back to you. Right? He sent his son. Jesus showed us the depth of his love through his time on the cross. But he rose again so that he could set us free, and he wants to set you free. And he wants to invite you into the life that he died to pay for, to give to you. So would you accept that? So Jesus, in all of this, Lord, we just kind of stand here together as your people. And we're kind of just here like wanting you to impact us personally and then in a united way, God. It's how you designed the church. It's how you designed following you. It's such a critical piece of our life with you, and it's the key to everything that we long for. So Jesus, in these still moments, would you press into us through your Holy Spirit? Would you unite us through your Holy Spirit? And would you, through your kindness, draw us to yourself, Lord, as we pursue you as individuals and then together as your church?